And welcome to another edition of the Type 1 Radio Lounge here on type1radio.com. I'm Sonic. We have here Steve and Fi. Hello?
Yep, hello. Fi's not with us at the moment, but she will be, I'm sure, at some point.
And we have Reset.
Hello there.
Apologies from Swami. He hopefully will be joining us next week when possibly, you know, we could have Dutch Sense on, but we'll see what happens with that. How's the week been?
Yeah, it's been okay. Yeah, good, I guess. Bit tired at the end of it all, but yeah, soldiering on through. How about you, Reset?
Well, honestly, I've been watching the Olympics a lot lately.
So have we, funnily enough. We didn't watch it at all last time. As it was, yeah. Fi's just arrived, by the way.
Hello!
Okay,
hi there.
Good evening. Afternoon, whatever. Sorry, I'm late.
Yeah, after after the home territory of last Olympics, I don't know why, I just didn't seem interested in it, and maybe it was because the world was going to end according to play and but it didn't, and I've enjoyed it.
Rick Clay didn't say the world was going to end.
Not a big sports watcher myself, but anytime a big event happens, I'll usually try to tune in. So the Olympics is one that I always try to catch, and it's just strange that lately you watch the Olympics. I mean, they're trying to do their thing, I guess. NBC's coverage over here has just been atrocious. I mean, with the opening ceremony, people I think they someone had said that there was a commercial break every 6 minutes.
That's quite. A little for America, isn't it? You usually have one every fucking two. You have the credits and they have an advert.
that 10 commercials an hour, though, isn't it?
It's up there. Honestly, the Olympics is something. It seemed that they gave the Olympics, you know, its time. I mean, they would show things in their full, and now at this point, it's like you go through, you know, one heat of a race. And then they go to commercial break. They come back, do another heat, and then they go to commercial again. And then they do two, and then they go to commercial, and then they give some goofy, pre-produced thing.
Probably advertising time has got more lucrative.
Oh, definitely.
And you know, we do live in such a more consumerized world with. Instantaneous technologies, so it's easier for people to buy shit. So it's more profitable to for advertisers to sell this advertising space. When they know that people are going to be watching. Yeah,
definitely.
I wonder how
much
advertising was going for when Usain Bolt was.
No, my
about
God,
to run.
Yeah, apparently he had a Masonic ring on.
He did, yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's not going to make him run faster, is it?
You never know.
He is a good runner. I don't think we can take that away from him, can we?
No, he is. yes, he is fantastic, isn't he, really? What is it? He's done the triple-triple. He's won three gold medals in three Olympics.
Olympics, yeah.
So, fair play to the guy. He is the fairest man.
Wait.
Okay, hold on. So he said this was going to be the last Olympics that he participates in? And you say triple-triple, right? 3-3, 33, that's the 33rd degree of Freemasonry. He was wearing a Freemason ring. What?
I didn't even think about that one. Well,
what?
Yeah.
So there you go.
I wonder when he got.
But anyway, no.
go on.
Really, what I was getting at is the freaking coverage lately. Anytime you turn on the Olympics, what they're talking about is this Ryan Lochte guy and the weird thing that happened in Brazil before he came home. The swimmers.
Yeah, where the they said that they'd been robbed at gunpoint, and then it turned out that they'd actually trashed some petrol station.
Yeah.
And they only came clean when the video footage of it came to light. Because I remember maybe a week ago, that this being, not a massive story, but sort of moderately big story that, oh my God, some Olympians have been robbed. Is it a terrorist attack? They're always trying to jump on that bandwagon, aren't they? And then it turns out that, they're the terrorists, it would seem.
Yeah. I wonder if we're going to see more Olympians kind of going off the wall a bit, like the pop stars.
Well, maybe. If they're all coming down off all these drugs that they're supposedly on.
or the NLP.
Yeah.
That's just the Russians, though.
That's one thing I was going to say, was that seemed to be where the whole, like, this seems to be like the Olympics of controversy or something. I know it was like Sochi, where the Russians were supposedly, they had this whole program of doping their athletes so they did better. But there was the one Russian swimmer, and this American girl had some issue with her, and they were going kind of back and forth at the beginning. And the whole Olympics this time seems a little weird.
And even more controversy is that downgrading the Paralympics, because some of the teams have the games organisers have failed to send out the cash for, I think, 10 teams to attend, 10 Paralympic team to attend the games. I think it's like maybe 8 million that they've failed to give out, so these teams can come to the games, and they've only sold maybe 300,000 tickets when they estimated 2.3 million tickets or something like that. So the head of the Paralympics, he's just basically saying the IPCC, is that the Olympic Committee, are basically as defunct as the as FIFA now.
I think it's the IOC, International Olympic Committee.
Yeah. They're as defunct as FIFA, and probably as corrupt as FIFA as well. Howard says they're all fucking corrupt.
Where there's money like that, then unfortunately, that's the way it goes, isn't it?
And I've had that in my mind ever since reading really disturbing piece by John Pilger when in the run up to the Sydney Games, where the Olympic Committee was taking around, various Aboriginal settlements, and they sort of cleaned them up, and kicked people out, and took promoted all these up and coming Aboriginal athletes, and then as soon as the they were over, it was like, back to where you came from, thank you very much, back into your place. Really quite disturbing. I mean, that was also part of an article about that you'd done about the lost generation of Australian Aboriginal origin. Crazy.
There's also an aspect kind of similar to that with the Rio Games here. I don't know if you guys have heard about the golf course?
No.
Did they build one where people used to live?
No, it's not where people used to live. It was actually like a natural wildlife preserve type area. And they basically wiped out a whole section of it that it was protected by the government for the longest time, I guess. And then, because the Olympics were coming, they decided to overturn this thing and say, okay, well, we'll just build a golf course over it. And so now you see there's video of it on like YouTube and stuff of critters, just like animals that used to live there coming up and, you know, they're on the green. They're on the fairway. I mean, animals creeping up into the freaking thing. And so people are saying, okay, well, what's going to happen with this afterwards? And I guess the people that own the land gave it to the government so they could use it for the Olympics here. And I guess after, I want to say it's something like 20 years, it reverts back to the people that owned it before. And then they're going to have the ability to build buildings on it, which they didn't before. So I guess that's one aspect of it. But a lot of people online were saying this is just going to turn – you wiped out all this forest, all this habitat that wildlife was living on. It's going to be – Brazil, they're not exactly – you know, I don't know if you'd call it a first world country. They got some problems like all of us do. But people online were really kind of harsh saying that, well, this is going to be a perfect ground for a shanty town.
I think the cities are probably almost, you know, first world, but the majority, Brazil is what, the third biggest country in the world, and it has so many different types of people that live there. The majority of them don't live in any city, or they just live in, you know, tribal communities, most of them, don't they really? And it's only where the cities are that's the colonial Portuguese that have colonized those particular places. I'm sure you'd be hard pressed to find any sort of European looking people in the middle of the Amazon. Unless they were missionaries.
Then you get red-headed guys winning the beach volleyball.
Well, there's also, weren't there a few Nazis that kind of fled there after the war? I'm thinking of Boys from Brazil, that whole thing.
That's more like, it's more Paraguay
and Argentina.
Argentina,
But yeah,
Venezuela.
In, I'd say quite a lot of South America has probably got a lot of German-speaking communities. Should we put it that way? But what you were saying about that habitat, though, that is that's straight out of the Agenda 21 manual, isn't it?
Yeah.
So ironic that it's in the place where the first Earth Summit was taking place when. Remember, before the Earth Summit, they were rounding up all the street kids and killing them. So good old Maurice Strong, even after he's dead, he's affecting the climate, shall we say? On the
just to reiterate back on that point, it's 12% of the tickets have been sold for the Paralympics. 12%.
That's terrible. I mean, I don't,
that's grim, isn't it?
But I don't think the Olympics that's going on now, that's not like full capacity, is it, by any stretch of the imagination?
No, it's only the sports the Brazilians themselves are interested in, like volleyball and football, and ones they've got chances of medals in. The other ones have just been pretty drab, really, compared to sort of here where it was all sold out.
Well, was it sold out though? The whole thing?
Here it was pretty much capacity. Yeah, you could get a ticket if you wanted, really wanted it, but on the whole, all the sort of tickets were sold. London. It was one of the most successful games ever.
And yet, where the Olympic Park used to be, they dismantled most of it, and I suppose the park's still there, and that bizarre sculpture that is now a big slide.
Yeah, but they've got the chairlift still there that takes you to the Olympic Village.
Oh, that Boris got and, stuck on.
Yeah, and the stadium is now owned by West Ham, or rented by West Ham, for about a fucking pound a year or something stupid.
So who owns that though?
What do they call it? The thingy committee.
Legacy
committee own it, but they've leased it to West Ham for 9 months of the year, and they pay a stupid rent. It's something like 12 million a year, but for that they get security staff, police, everything is chucked in, and they just make an absolute fortune from it. And of course they were allowed to sell their own grounds, the previous stadium, which of course is in London, so it's going to be worth an absolute fortune, a couple of billion probably.
And whereabouts in London is Arsenal? It's
in Islington, North London.
Right, okay. So
West Ham's in East London, so not as valuable as Islington, but just about, you know, because it's London, it's worth shed loads. And that's good old Karen Brady, Dame Karen Brady, who wangled that deal. Well done, Karen.
Oh, is that the apprentice lady?
Yeah, that's her, yeah. She made a fortune in pornography.
And she was the first female chairman?
Chairman of a football club, yeah.
Of So, but and she was like 23 at the time. So I'm wondering, did her parents have something to do with that football club and she was just given that job, or...
No. It's actually David Gold and Sunday Sullivan owned a porn business. They owned like Razzle and stuff like that, which is about like Hustler over in the States and Playboy, I guess. And her parents were in printing, and they supplied the paper for said pornography to be printed on, and they kind of sneaked her in as a little sales girl, and she kind of worked her way up.
Oh.
Pardon the pun. So yeah, I mean, she didn't get there, but she didn't get to where she is by, you know,
on her merit.
Yeah, she got there sort of, I dare say she's a hard worker and all the rest of it, but
yeah.
You don't get a damehood without any knowing certain stuff, don't you, and keeping your mouth shut at certain times and opening it at other times. So yeah, so basically pornography is where she rose from, and that's now seen as a good thing these days, as we all know.
Well, the trying to push it down people's faces often enough.
Yeah. Image. So, anyway, that's the London Olympic legacy.
So, sort of linking through the Olympics there. Risa, you were saying before the show that you were trying to access some of the Olympics through the BBC site, and it was saying, what was it saying?
Yeah. Well, basically, I guess I didn't know this until recently, but I guess the Olympics are really like copyright aware or something like this. Like, they don't want anyone to be sharing anything from the Olympics anywhere ever unless you have a license to do so. And I don't know if that has a hand in it or what, but yeah, I was watching the Olympics on TV live, and there was one of the I can't remember what country she was from, but she had this crazy thing where she was doing a tumble, she fell over, her legs did this weird thing, and then she just like tumbled over and her head hit the mat. And I don't have a DVR, so I couldn't go back and watch it again. So I was trying to find this clip, and there were a bunch of fake things on YouTube of people saying that they had this clip and you'd, you know, play it and it would just show text or whatever. So I eventually found a clip that was apparently on a BBC website. I don't know which channel it was, but it was BBC. I got onto it and I clicked play and it said, this content is not available in your region. It's like, wait a minute, what? So I don't know if that was a BBC thing or if that was an Olympics thing or what it was. But yeah, I tried accessing something on a BBC website and it said that it wasn't available in my region.
Well, that sort of goes into the BBC's next attempt to get people to actually pay for their content. In that the change in the TV license, where some people were saying when asked why they don't have a TV license, is that I don't watch live BBC content, I just watch it on the iPlayer on catch up, and now they're trying to take away that loophole so they can hook people into buying a TV license. I'd say the best option.
I'm sure that's still for live broadcast when they do live broadcast.
From September, the.
Oh really?
Yeah, that's the.
Because they can get you through your IP address.
Yeah, and so there's the new scare tactic of the BBC having new detector vans that can
detect
what you're watching on Wi-Fi, which...
Well, that's more ridiculous than a fucking aerial signal, isn't it? Because how many Wi-Fi... when you turn your smartphone on, you see about 800 Wi-Fi signals at any given time, no matter where you are. So that's absolute bullshit.
But then I think they had to backtrack because they were accused of... collecting data without consent, there was some like sort of snooper's charter type, deal where they would possibly be collecting this data. Without permission, sort of like how Google were doing with the Google Google Street View vans. They were collecting the data off, and so somehow the BBC were saying that they had this new technology that they could detect if BBC content was being played through the metadata. My advice would be just don't entertain any conversation with the BBC or any licensed people. Mm-hmm. If you don't enter that conversation, then that's the end of the matter.
Mm. And honestly, it's kind of funny you bring that up because one thing, it kind of sounds almost exactly like what you were talking about. Windows 10 and peer-to-peer file sharing is something that I kind of want to talk about at some point. But Windows 10, I guess France is actually, they're suing Microsoft because they don't want they realize what the program is doing, snooping on people. And they've said that, no, we're not going to allow this. And so they're actually suing Microsoft over the snooping that the program, the operating system itself is doing.
So is that because the French government want the monopoly on snooping on its people?
This could be. Yeah. I just saw the headline. I read the article a little bit, but I don't know if it's because France wants to snoop on their own people or what, but they're not digging exactly what Windows 10 is doing.
I mean, this sort of goes into... covers some of the conversation that we had last week with Pippa King in how all this data is being collected and sold by governments, and we are data They are the consumers of our data.
No, honestly, I read something the other day. It made total sense to me. It said, if you're not paying for the product, if you're not paying for it, you are the product.
Yeah. And really, the internet isn't free, because everybody has to pay for the connection fees, which can be. If you think about a year, it's probably, you know, 200 or 300 quid, or maybe $300. Yeah.
$1,200 a year, basically.
Well, I suppose it depends on your supplier, doesn't it?
Well, unless you're hanging out at Starbucks or McDonald's all the time.
Yeah. Which, when on holiday. McDonald's is a great source of free Wi-Fi, even if you just buy a coffee.
Yeah.
unfortunately, you can't download movies or something on because you're probably going to be out of the region where your subscription, as I found when we were in Spain, I was quite gutted that I couldn't download a film from the plane.
This is one thing. I was telling you earlier about that Kodi program.
Uh-huh.
Lately, they've had this pop-up showing up. I've never seen a pop-up show up on it before, but with the Olympics going on, they've had this thing showing up that says, kind of acknowledging that NBC's coverage here in the U.S. has kind of been lackluster, saying that, you know, the best way to really watch the Olympics is through Kodi because we can give you all the international feeds and there's no commercials. And it's totally free and legal. So, like I said, Kodi, I think, is really a pretty good alternative to either, you know, peer-to-peer file sharing, whatever, I mean, or trying to get it off from a country that you can't access, like I was trying to get from the BBC. I think Kodi is a pretty good alternative. If you have an internet connection, it's a good place to try.
So does that have a VPN in it? So it's not giving away your IP and stuff like that.
Honestly, that's one aspect I'm not entirely. I only learned about this the other week, so I'm pretty new to it myself. But as far as I've read that, what was it? There was actually the Mexican government. There was someone that was working for the Mexican government was at one of the Olympic events, and they were filming something on their smartphone, and then they uploaded it to a site. And now, as far as I recall, all the Mexican officials that were having anything to do with transmitting data from the Olympics have been removed and sent home and stripped of their Olympic title, what have you, that whatever they were. So in that same article, they were saying that it's kind of strange that, you know, these people, they simply uploaded a small video. It's not like they were going out and they were filming the entire thing to make money. It was someone who was filming a small little clip and uploaded it to like their Facebook or Twitter or something.
And so apart from, you know, they weren't recording on their smartphones a TV broadcast. They were doing it live.
No.
So in all intents and purposes, they own the copyright on that, surely, because they've
theoretically
themselves.
They found it themselves on their own equipment.
And they have power to do what they... I mean, maybe, I suppose, whoever's paying them could say, well, you're actually supposed to be at work here, and because of that, then you shouldn't be doing that. I mean, you know, perhaps that's why they've all been sent home, because they should have been doing the job. Even though in those sorts of roles, it's all pretty much just, you know, in complimentary lounges and complimentary seats, so it's all free anyway, surely.
Well, but here's the other aspect of it. Okay, so that one person that was part of the official Mexican committee, they shot this film, they uploaded it, and apparently they weren't supposed to do that. The whole committee was sent home, and so now Mexico, as far as I know, has no coverage because their people were sent home. So really, the way I heard it was the entire country is suffering not being able to view the Olympics the way they should be able to because one person shot a video and uploaded it.
Well, that is interesting. So this was like part of like the news crew.
Yeah, this was one of the official, like, I don't know how many, I don't know if you'd call them delegates or whatever.
Yeah.
Each country is allowed, but I mean, you know, like our NBC coverage, you know, you have like Costas and, you know, whoever, you know, people are there presenting the Olympics. It's like if one of those, them, were sitting on the sideline and recorded a little clip and uploaded it to Facebook or Twitter. The entire crew was sent home for copyright infringement.
Or like someone from the BBC that was there.
Yeah.
Apparently, the BBC have sent more crew than actually we have competitors. Yeah.
How does that work?
People that pay the TV license are paying for this jolly. They've got to do a bit of work, I'm sure, but pretty much those sort of events, they are like magnets for fucking freeloaders, aren't they?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's a bit like the House of
Commons. Howard says, a bit like the House of Commons.
We actually heard from a guy who took part in London. He's always been a keen cycler. I may have mentioned this before, I can't remember. And he was under strict instructions that there was to be no using his cell phone, no telling the athletes well done, you know, because he was actually helping them with their bikes and stuff like that, their cycles, you know, to the velodrome and whatever. And he was absolutely told under no circumstances are you even allowed to talk. So I can imagine they're pretty strict. So that sounds, you know, path of the course for the Mexicans getting sent home for doing something like that, because they are pretty much Nazis, these old Olympic committee people.
Yeah,
we'll see about them.
Yeah, definitely. And yeah, I mean, it does have that feel, doesn't it, of you know, the sort of, not necessarily the Aryan race, but this sort of superhuman trying to find the best, maybe they're looking for people to you know, seed the starship, the Battlestar Galactica ships.
Well, it honestly does get a little creepy when you realize that, I mean, the way that the Olympics happen now, really it was the, what was the 36 Berlin Games, the ones in Nazi Germany, is basically what every previous games have been crafted after. And when you hear about the stories come out of, you know, the Olympic Village, where it's damn near, it sounds like a big fuck fest of all these Olympians, you know, the premier people, the you know, you when you talk about, you know, Aryan race type thing, yeah, it damn near does sound like that.
Yeah. And I've been to the Olympic Stadium in Berlin, and it is fucking massive. The gates to that place must be like, three or four stories high. They're just the gates to the place. Mm. And it still has the you know, the five circles on the top there.
Yeah.
So,
and let's not, that was the that was the same, the first games that used the Olympic torch as well, wasn't it?
Yep.
The bringing of fire. That was
The Berlin Games, really, it's the standard. That's basically what everyone follows now.
Yeah. Well,
go figure.
where are the next time?
Tokyo.
Tokyo.
And Paris.
And where's the Winter Olympics then?
Don't know.
Oh, jeez.
Next winter.
I'm not going to Google it.
We'll save that for the 2 years' time when it will be the Olympics, because they've moved the Winter Olympics, haven't they?
I thought it was the same year.
I've seen Pyeongchang.
Pyeongchang?
What, in North Korea? Well,
this is what it's saying. Hear that,
Kim Jong-un was spotted at the Olympics week, wasn't he? But it was a doppelganger.
Well, I was just really surprised that North Korea let some people out to go to the Olympics.
Well, they got a bronze, didn't they? Didn't they get a medal? Didn't they get a weightlifting or a judo medal or something?
Yeah, hey, I'm sure.
That's South Korea. Pyeongchang is South Korea.
All right.
Just so we have
but
that
on the North.
Anyway.
Yeah, but on the North Korea thing, they did have a medal winner. I did see somewhere. So it made me laugh. It was quite... I saw a little clip today as well saying, excuse me, about all the countries, how much they give their gold medal winners.
Mm-hmm.
So countries actually give them, I think the States gets $25,000 and Kazakhstan gets $300,000. And Germany gets 18, and sort of so on and so on. And Britain gets nothing. We just do it for the love of it because we're great.
Well, I suppose quite a lot of the British people, they're all like amateurs. They're all amateurs?
Well,
surely.
They should be, but they're not. I think it was the Barcelona games, they changed the ruling to let the basketball players in because, remember the dream team of Michael Jordan and all these guys, Thingy Bartley and all that, they all wanted to play Olympians sort of thing. So they didn't actually get paid to take part, but they allowed the professionals to go in it. And since then, it's sort of set a bit of a precedent to say that professional athletes can compete. You know, but over here in Britain, the lottery fund that was set up by John Major actually is now at a staggering £370 million they give to athletes. And it goes on a point system. If you qualify, you get sort of some sort of menial funding. And the better you get, the bigger your funding goes up. Like cycling itself, cycling for years. I think we only won one medal in 80 years or something like that. And suddenly this bloke sort of invented a bicycle out of his shed in his back, in his backyard sort of thing. And since then, the cycling now gets £37 million funding because of how successful it's been. And we basically, the cycling team at the Olympics this year for Britain has every single member of the team has won a medal. It's quite... astonishing, really.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, the whole team has won something. It's like, what? Fucking hell. It's kind of a big
even debate. The golf.
We won the golf as well. And tennis.
The medal table seems a bit skewed, though, in that they don't seem to tally up who's got the most medals. It seems to be... who's got the most gold and silver? So if they just tallied up the total medals, we would be third at the moment, and China would be second.
It's over here, NBC. NBC with their coverage, every now and again there'll be a break so you can get your local news, whatever. But when the to actually come back on, I think they'll usually do a medal count. And last time I saw, I think they do. Yeah, they do a total medal count. And last I saw, America had something like 95 medals.
Yeah.
It's a little ridiculous. I don't understand how America keeps winning.
Because they've got better well-disguised drugs.
Yes, we have better drugs.
I mean, look how long Lance Armstrong went before he,
yep.
he got found
oh,
out.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, and he'd been doing it for years. So,
you know, it's kind of funny. Yeah, with the start of the Olympics, I had heard about the, you know, the Russian swimmer lady that was still being allowed to swim. I guess her probation period or whatever had come to an end. She'd been, you know, found guilty, quote unquote, whatever, of doping, but her time had passed, and so she was allowed to participate this year. And that got me to think, oh well, Lance Armstrong. So I started googling Lance Armstrong a little bit and came across this one thing. It was talking about the people that were involved with his racing group, unit, whatever you want to call it, and a lot of those people are still making money off of cycling, and a lot of them were also doping. It's kind of funny that Lance Armstrong, you know, he was kind of smeared the way he was. Well, yeah,
he's
definitely.
He scapegoated himself. But, I
mean, oh, yeah. And there's all these other people that are, you know, in the same boat with him. Lance Armstrong, I don't know how much money he's making these days. I don't particularly care. But, yeah, there's all these other people that were doing the exact same thing under Lance Armstrong's kind of guide, I guess. And they're pretty much doing what they were doing back in the day. Mm-hmm. It's a little goofy.
Well, yeah, well, I suppose you know, he could very well be heavily invested in those people, and he thought it better for him to take the flak and for them to continue or mm-hmm. to see if they can continue and still be able to make loads of cash. No, that's just yeah. off the top of my head there. That's my
concern. No, stands to reason,
right,
I guess.
Yeah. You're probably right. You've probably been assured a good sort of pension or a good sort of nest egg somewhere for taking the rap.
Just going back to the license fee thing, it's just come back to me. On TV before, ITV had this little advert about how they have an app to remind you about you know, TV shows that are now to come on. You know, this show is about to come on. It'll just like send a reminder to your phone. And I was saying to Howard, why in the age of catch-up TV would you need that facility? And then I came to the conclusion that maybe ITV are in cahoots with the BBC, the licensing people. So if people are signing up to get this TV alert for live telly, then they can sell that data on. So they, you know, they've got evidence to say, oh, you were watching TV here. So that's my conspiracy head.
So this is that that iLooper or whatever thing you were talking about, right?
iPlayer. So
iPlayer. Okay, I was searching for it earlier and I couldn't find a damn article on it, but maybe I had the wrong name.
Yeah, probably. If you call it iLooper.
I think the iPlayer.
That's what you typed in Skype. That's what you typed in Skype.
Did
iPlayer, all right.
Yeah, I think I did. Hopefully, I did. yeah, I mean, it's a bizarre situation, really, because when you go to France and Holland, you on their telly, on their terrestrial telly, they'll get some British TV channels like BBC One and BBC Two and ITV and Channel 5. And yet, you'd think that if they were so hot on people you know, watching live British TV content, that they would block those signals to, you know, we live on an island. It's not really hard that hard to do, you would have thought. And, you know, so are they going after people in France and Holland to pay the TV license? I don't know, I don't quite get that.
Well, I've got to say that that one clip that I was trying to view over here in America, I wasn't given any other option. Like, I wasn't given a, you know, pay something something to view this clip. It was just, no, you can't watch this.
And there is, I remember Thomas sending me a link to some arts page on part of the BBC's website, and I couldn't access it because it says that this content is for outside the UK. So, you know, people...
Send me that link.
People are paying, that are paying for the BBC's domination of the internet content out that isn't accessible by themselves. You know, if you go to, you know, anywhere outside the UK, it's pretty much, and go to a hotel, it's pretty much got BBC World Service, on which they are loads and loads of adverts, which over here, the BBC is, you know, sort of tries to stand by this ethos of, we will have no advertising on our programmes because the British public are paying for it. When it would seem that the British public have been paying for the BBC's digital arm, which is, you know, if you look at the long scheme of things, is the forward of media, whether or not it's like TV programs or news media. You know, the internet and digital content is the way forward, and yet the people in Britain aren't able to access that. So, you know, we've once again, the BBC have pulled the wool over everybody's eyes. There was a...
Well, they're fucking world leaders at that, aren't they?
There was a case over here not so long ago of... it was the brother of some guy that had been killed in 9/11. And he was coming up with the argument that he wasn't going to pay his TV license because of the potential complicity in them reporting that Building 7 had gone away before it had.
Mm-hmm.
And he was saying that they must have had some complicity. You know, if, you know, I wouldn't have gone even into that argument. I'd have said that you've been fucking covering up a massive paedophile ring for the past fucking 50 years. And I'm sorry, but I can't condone that. And therefore, you've reneged any right to ask me for any money ever again. Thank you very much. Yeah. People don't seem to want to go down that route of the law. You know, spend some money on rooting out this celebrity death cult. Perhaps, and I find the BBC's reporting of the Savile affair and potential paedophile cults were operating in BBC centre. They sort of try to do it in an objective way when they can't, just by the fact that it is the same organisation. You know, it's crazy.
I know.
Crazy.
Don't forget, they've got an arm now that goes into countries and helps them to sort of change their dictatorships and leaders as well.
With, what's he called? Brent, somebody. The MP dude.
Yeah, I can't remember his name off the top of my head. But again, we have to give a big shout out to UK Column.
Yes.
For the sterling work.
Yes, definitely.
And uncovering that.
So, well, we're coming up to the end of this hour, and we've got two special birthdays today. We've got, it would be Phil Lynott's 66th birthday today, I think. And it is Dave Brock's 75th birthday today. So, which one should we have first, at a Thin Lizzy or a Hawkwind tune?
Which Hawkwind tune have you got lined up?
I had Masters of the Universe, just because Silver Machine, Dave doesn't sing on that, so I think it'd be a bit of a...
that's a contentious one.
And also, I think Orgone Accumulator, that's far too long, and I think that one, Richard Calvert singing, so again, the captain.
All the best ones are sung by Richard Calvert, unfortunately.
So we can go for either Jailbreak, Thin Lizzy, or Masters of the Universe.
Go Jailbreak then. Say happy birthday, Phil.
Okay. I'll just get that set up and you just... here it is. That's it. Well, actually, we'll just have a little bit more of a chat because this will have to load up. No, it's already loaded. So we'll go for a break now. People listening live,
refresh
your browser. People not listening live, just press the link for part two on the part two page. So here is Thin Lizzy and Jailbreak. Happy birthday, Phil Lynott.